Mercury retrograde. Okay, this, I always say this every Mercury retrograde, but I do feel there's definitely been some Mercury retrograde snafus. Like, even the stereotypical snafus have happened. Like, I got both a parking and a speeding ticket, I think. Yeah, it was a parking and a speeding ticket. And my friends make fun of me, but I don't get parking tickets usually because I have a spell put on my car. Literally, it was a protection spell put on my car that, like, I won't get a parking ticket. And usually it works, but I think it was like 2 weeks ago, I was running late. This was like right when Mercury was in the shadow. I was running late to my therapy appointment and I parked in like a paid parking zone. And because I had the spell on my car, I feel like I can kind of can kind of like tell like, ooh, when's something gonna happen? Should I pay for parking or should I risk it? And like, I literally had this gut feeling. I was like, I'm gonna get a ticket if I don't pay for parking. But because I was running late, I ignored my intuitive hit, and then I came back and I have a ticket. But alas, I don't know if other cities have the same level of ticketing and speed. We have those like speeding cameras. So it's not even like the police pulling you over to give you the speeding ticket. It's like cameras going off. Like, I think Chicago might be one of the highest grossing cities in the United States when it comes to like the billions of dollars. I don't know if it's billions, but like millions. Could be a billion. Millions of dollars they make off of like parking and speeding tickets. So anyways, is it even a Mercury retrograde if you don't get a parking or speeding ticket? Also, what was so funny, me and Sarah have been teaching our Untethered Artist class, and it was such a funny Mercury retrograde thing yesterday too, like, because we have a class yesterday, and I sent out the email like to everybody, like, okay, here's a Zoom link, see you guys soon. And like the whole class was like, something came up, blah, blah, blah. So we had to like switch gears on the class really last minute, which was very Mercury retrograde. But it made me appreciate, well, Sarah herself, but also just, it made me appreciate just being able to, I know it sounds cheesy, but roll with the punches during a Mercury retrograde, because things do change. And you can either, like, it's like you have a period of time where you could either accept the change or resist it, you know? And it just makes it so much worse, especially in a Mercury retrograde, when you resist the change, you know? Oh my God, SBI, you said I went to a wedding yesterday and drove to the wrong location. That'd be funny if you drove to the wrong location and it was still a different wedding and you like showed up to a different, an entirely different wedding. And you were like, wait, the bride looks really different. Heather, you said the cameras in California have been deemed not a ticket since no acting office was on site to prove it. Oh, that's interesting. Armchair astrologer, you said Chicago is another level. My brother got 2 red light camera tickets in the mail this week too. Yes, that's the thing. And it's funny because I haven't, like, my legal address is still my parents' house. So if I get like a ticket camera ticket, the ticket goes to my parents' house. Then my mom's like texting me like, why are you getting all these tickets? I'm like, it's, you try driving in this city for 1 week and try not getting a ticket. Like, it's next level. Rhonda, you said, I got a flat tire yesterday. No. Do you know how to change your tire? Because that's a skill I'm looking to obtain. If anybody wants to teach me, I really want to learn. And yeah, my mother, Sylvia, is absolutely on ticket patrol. Also, it's my mother's birthday today. So happy birthday to the Sagittarians out there. Sagittarius, the Sagittarius moms who've never held back one critical thought in their lives. No, I'm kidding. So my friends, happy Mercury retrograde. So I was thinking, with this Mercury retrograde, we're nearing the halfway point on Friday, which is, what date is Friday? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Okay, so December 22nd, this Friday, we've got the Mercury retrograde half point. And how do I know that? Well, it's the Mercury Kazemi on Friday, which means that Mercury will be conjunct the Sun. And this happens every time Mercury goes retrograde, is retrograde. And the halfway point is when Mercury conjoins with the Sun, right? And I find this Mercury retrograde to be kind of interesting because it begins in Sagittarius and it retrogrades back to Capricorn. And like, I'll have to actually, if anybody's watching and they have Mercury in Sagittarius or Mercury in Capricorn, let us know in the comments, because I feel like those two Mercury placements are specifically, they just have this like palpable difference, just because Mercury in Sagittarius is ruled by Jupiter, and Jupiter is like the great expander. Right? Jupiter is typically a more like optimistic, sort of luck driven, risk driven planet. Jupiter in Sagittarius, you know, is kind of good at sort of mentally calculating like what is the best risk to take in this moment in order for me to optimize my success, right? Like, there's always something in the background for Mercury and Sagittarius when it comes to, like, how do I optimize this moment? Versus Mercury and Capricorn. Mercury and Capricorn is ruled by Saturn, right? So Saturn, planet of limitations. It's not to say that Mercury in Capricorn is inherently pessimistic, but there's a different viewpoint of like assessing the risk or the challenge. There isn't necessarily this just do it kind of mentality with Mercury in Capricorn. It's like a slower, a little bit of a more like specifically detailed route that leads to the success itself. And I do tend to think, I mean, sure, Mercury in Capricorn is sometimes the realistic voice that you didn't want to hear, whereas Mercury in Sagittarius can be sort of the annoyingly optimistic voice, and you're like, shut up, like that's I'm kidding, like you're like, come on, like that couldn't happen. Yeah, like Mercury in Capricorn points out the limitations of the situation, and Mercury in Sagittarius points out the opportunities for growth and expansion in the situation. So it is interesting that during this Mercury retrograde period, yeah, Mercury will retrograde through Sagittarius and into Capricorn. So what does that mean in English? Well, you know, I've been tapping in a lot to, in this past couple days, to the Judgment card in the tarot. Let's pull it out here. Yesterday when Sarah and I had the Mercury retrograde snafu and we had to shift gears with our class, we ended up doing a lesson about tarot cards of the year. So if you don't know how to calculate your tarot card of the year, you basically just take the digits of the day and the month of your birthday and then add 2024 or like whatever year you're looking at, right? So like my birthday's February 28th, so I would add 2 + 2 + 8 + 2 + 0 + 2 + 4, all into one big number. And that's how you kind of determine the digit of your year ahead. So like, for instance, that all adds up to 20 for me. And what is the card of my 2024? It's Judgment, because Judgment is number 20. Corey, I didn't know you were February 28th. That's so funny. Were you born on a leap year? I wasn't, but I do like to tell the story that I was. I like to tell the story that my mom had me at like 11:55 p.m. on a leap year, so I was almost February 29th. But that would be a complete lie because I was born at like 1 p.m. on a on a non-leap year. But it is a fun birthday. I do like being a February 28th baby. But okay, so yeah, year ahead for me at least is Judgment. Now, regardless of my year ahead, I do feel like Judgment is in the collective sphere right now, especially with this Mercury retrograde, because Judgment, I think, is ultimately... Laura, did I sell you on that story at some point? Did I tell you that lie at some point and you believed me? So, you know, Judgment's in the collective with this Mercury retrograde, because Mercury in Sagittarius, optimism. Mercury in Capricorn, realism, pessimism. And I actually think we need all three of those things to navigate our life path. I don't think optimism is inherently better than pessimism or seeing the limitations in a situation. And I don't think we get an award when we are so realistic that we can't see a real possibility that could manifest, right? And how does that relate to Judgment? Well, Judgment is a card that points us to our life path, our purpose. And I've been thinking about this a lot. Like, I always think about this, but especially in the past couple weeks, like, how do we find our purpose in life? Or what is that? Is there one answer? Is there like a whole sort of cornucopia of things that could be part of our purpose? And how do we find how we're supposed to be of service? And everything like that, I think, correlates to the judgment card, which is like, dun, 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 why are you here on Earth? Like, what's the soul contract that you signed? What are you supposed to be getting done, quote unquote, in this lifetime? And I don't mean that from a capitalistic work productivity perspective. I mean it from, like, what are you karmically getting done in this lifetime? And I think, you know, part of finding that, I think it has to do with really deconditioning from the things that we've been taught and questioning everything we've been taught and really finding our own truth, which could take an entire lifetime, right? But as we do that, I think also we kind of face other people's attitudes about what we want to do, right? Like, other people's judgments come through. Some people could call our purpose or our dream too optimistic, right? Like, some people might not be able to see our vision quite like we're able to. Something about this Mercury retrograde in both Sagittarius and Capricorn is we're kind of figuring out, who am I listening to? Like, who am I really going to take feedback from? Including ourselves. Feedback when it comes to my path. You know, we're heading into a new year. It's sort of the season of, what are they called? New Year's resolutions, right? It's the season of, like, thinking about the past and manifesting things in the future. And this all relates to how we walk our path. And this moment, for a lot of us, could be filled with both optimism and pessimism. Both idealism and realism. And again, I'm wondering if something about this Mercury retrograde is telling us, be careful where you place the pessimism, the optimism, the realism, the idealism. None of those things are inherently wrong. But I do think sometimes we misplace those attitudes, if that makes sense. Like, and I feel like I witness this a lot, just having the gift of being a space holder and holding, you know, holding a container for people to explore this very thing, like their conditioning, what is my path, what is my purpose. You know, I witness a lot misplaced pessimism or like a misplaced realism. And again, I'm Jupiter in Sagittarius, okay? So, I would think along these lines, but I often witness people placing pessimism or placing a box of quote unquote realism on a situation or a dream or a decision that they're in the process of making. And I'm like, I just feel like that pessimism is misplaced, because why wouldn't you be able to do that? You know, like if, for instance, like if someone says like, oh my God, I'm afraid to go back to school because of this X, Y, and Z, or, you know, what if I quit my job and actually go to culinary school? Like I really want to, like what would happen? What would my family think? Like, you know, there's like all these like misplaced nuggets of the worst case scenario that could come from these decisions. Because that's kind of what pessimism is, right? It's like, it's a sort of projection of the worst case scenario that's coming from our fear stories, or maybe even coming from some sort of even past life karma that we're working through in this lifetime, right? So I wonder about this Mercury retrograde, you know, retrograding through Sagittarius into Capricorn. It's almost like, have we been projecting pessimism onto a situation that isn't actually that hard? Or like, what if this situation could be a lot easier than you think, you know? Or like, what if this situation could manifest a lot quicker than you think? I was actually talking to my Capricorn friend. You guys might remember Denise from the podcast, maybe that was probably a year ago. I released that podcast with Denise Hewlett about asteroid Juno. She's such a fun person. I love her. She's so fun. And I had a little astrologer catch up with her the other day. And I was telling her, I was like, God, I'm a little stressed because, you know, in this next year, I'm going to be trying to get my Italian citizenship, or at least apply for my Italian citizenship. And it's a lot of money that I don't necessarily have in this moment. And I'm like, oh my God, like, what if I can't pay for these legal fees, or like, what's going to happen, or all of these things? And Denise, she just had this like beautiful moment where she was like, oh, you'll figure it out. You know, and in her reflection, I was like, oh, okay, I'm maybe projecting too much pessimism, realism on that situation. Because if it's meant to be, you know, whatever, the funds will flow, the money will find me, right? On the other hand, how can we misplace optimism? You know, like, I'm thinking about that, which is kind of sometimes a Mercury and Sagittarius thing. How can we misplace optimism? I'm just reading the comments really quick. How do we misplace optimism? Well, I think sometimes we can get, like, how do I put this? Like, misplace optimism is a different side of the ego story, if that makes sense. Like, this sense of misplaced pessimism, being like, I can't do this, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I'll never have that, you know, all of that. Like, that is an ego story, right? And that's the ego story projecting itself onto the pessimism about the situation. Misplaced optimism is the same thing, only the other side of the spectrum. Like, exactly, Corey, getting into a relationship with someone's potential. Yes, that's such a good example. Like, sort of making the situation into something it's not. Or I also think, you know, this is kind of embarrassing to admit, but I'll just admit it. Like, you know, when you're a creative and you're like, oh my God, I'm going to write this book and I'm going to become a famous writer. You know, or like, whatever, like, I'm going to paint this painting and it's going to sell millions of prints, or like that kind of thing. Sometimes I think we almost have those like super inflated, optimistic thoughts because we're making it too unattainable, so we don't actually go for it, right? Like that sort of thing. Oh my God, I'm gonna write a book and it's gonna sell millions of copies. Then it's really easy to like sit down and not even be able to write the first page because you've made the dream or the vision so unattainable, you know, that like, it's almost like, whoa. We can acknowledge those thoughts, which I do think come from like an inner child wound of wanting to be seen, right? Like if our parents didn't acknowledge us or see us or really notice a special talent or something, like I think then the ego can inflate itself to sort of, yeah, be like, oh my God, like I'm gonna be seen by the world. Right. But like, I think it's okay to acknowledge those thoughts and almost be like, okay, this might be a little bit of misplaced optimism that actually is working against me in the long run. And what would it be like to just dial that back and pursue the thing because it's, something that will bring me fulfillment or bring me meaning or bring me joy, right? There's something like that coming through with this Mercury retrograde. So I'm wondering, I'm going to ask you guys, like, do you find right now going into the new year, can you feel into where may I be misplacing a pessimistic outlook on something that is entirely attainable for me versus where might I be having this sort of overzealous, optimistic vision of the future and it's so big that it's actually keeping me from even starting the project or like, you know, there's something like that coming through. I think especially leading up to Friday, December 22nd with the Mercury Kazemi. Mercury Kazemi translated to a tarot card is sort of like a Ace of Swords moment. It's like a, aha, there we go. Oh, I got it now. I see it. I see what's up. You know, Brooke, you said an example of projection of too much optimism is overcommitting despite feeling burnt out. Yeah. Like this sense of like, I want to do everything, so I'm just going to say yes. And I'm going to, you know, be like, I can do it. But then, you know, at the end of the day, you just like drop dead or you start like getting sick and you're like, oh my God, I've completely overcommitted myself to this, right? So thinking about that in the context of our year ahead stuff, I also think this could be, you know, relevant to so much of the collective grief too, because we can think about how we've been misplacing both optimism and pessimism in our own lives and our own manifestations individually, but also on a collective scale. Like, where have we been misplacing optimism and pessimism? Let's say global warming. So many of us just like ignore, you know, the sort of the literal like scientific facts that we have like maybe 10 years, if that, to like really hightail this thing and turn it around before there's like irrecoverable. I can't say that word right now. Until there's like such damage and harm that it can't be like, it can't be healed. Or although I do like to believe in the immense healing powers of the earth, but you know, like there's something like that with like the, this sort of unrealistic optimism just by being complicit in things like littering. It makes me so, not that I think one plastic water bottle on the side of the road is, you know, worse than, you know, the evil empire of Amazon, right? But like, there's something about, like, how is someone still throwing a plastic water bottle? How are we still buying plastic water? Like, it's so baffling to me. Maybe this is American culture, because I feel like every other place, they're way more conscientious of, like, garbage and throwing things away and, like, composting and things like that. But anyways, now I'm blabbing. But, you know, thinking about collectively how we're misplacing optimism and pessimism in certain aspects as well, right? So, yeah, Corey, the runaway greenhouse effect. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, my friends, that is the tea for this week. And also, besides where you could be misplacing optimism and pessimism, also, don't get a ticket. Don't get a speeding ticket. Check your tire pressures. Double check the time. But also, don't freak out if someone's late or something doesn't work out the way that you thought it was going to, because maybe there's a reason for that. I've shared this before, but during Mercury retrograde, or really any time, like, I always think, like, you know when you, like, get in your car and you're ready to go? You're like, okay, I've got my lunch, I've got my water, I've got my wallet, I'm ready to drive to work, and then you're like, fuck, I forgot my phone on the dining room table, and it's, like, such a... it's such an inconvenience, and you're like, God damn it. Like, it, during a Mercury retrograde, it's actually, it's a nice practice when those things happen to just say, thank you, universe, because this is divine timing. You know, because I forgot my phone on the dining room table, and now I have to get out of the car, go back inside, I'm now gonna leave in 2 minutes and 30 seconds instead of right now. Because of that, I avoided getting in a car accident, or like I somehow ran into my high school best friend in the grocery store and I didn't expect it, and it was great, and I wouldn't have ran into her if I had just been two more minutes off on my timeline, right? So I feel like Mercury retrograde's a good time to be thankful for the timeline, even if the timeline is delayed, because you don't know how meaningful and profound those delays are or could be. Okay. Yes. Okay, friends. So I would love to pull a card for you during this Mercury retrograde moment. And while you are typing either card requests, or if you have a prayer request, I would love to hold space for a collective prayer for you. I'll just announce a few things. That's what I need to get better about in 2024. I need to get better about just being a bit of a more better at announcing my stuff. I always, you know who's so good at this is nightlife astrology Adam Allenboss. He's so good at promoting himself and remembering to do it. So one thing, if you enjoy Witch Church and you want to become a supporter of Witch Church, you can become a paid subscriber to my Substack newsletter for $5 a month. And I think there's ways to edit the amount you're giving to. So I think it's possible if you just want to give like $1 or $2 to my Substack newsletter per month, those, even if it's $1, those things add up for me and they actually end up making a big difference. So if you're looking for a way to support Witch Church and also just my stuff in general, Substack is a great way to do so. If you can't do it, no problem. You can also become a free subscriber there. As for 2024, year ahead readings are live on my site. So yeah, I've got some openings. Book your year ahead reading. That should be under the Book a Session tab. If you're looking to gift a reading to a loved one, those gift cards are also up on my site. And if you are in the Chicagoland area, January 13th, which is a Saturday, I will be hosting a year ahead astrology workshop at 5 Point Holistic Health. So please join me on January 13th. I'll be posting about that soon. I'll make a post about it soon, but DM me if you're in the Chicagoland area and you're like, I'm there. So I can just add you to the list, because I think there will probably, we'll probably cap it at like 10, 12 people at the most. So I want to get you on the list if you want to come. Okay. Those are my announcements. Thanks for listening. Okay. Let's see here. Laura, I love your evolution right now. Just loving your... loving the growth I'm seeing. Okay, so would love a card for the week. Ooh, see, the Emperor. Ooh, that's good. That's good. I think maybe as the holidays come to, as we go into the holidays, sometimes we have to like mix and mingle with, you know, family members or people that perceive us in a certain way, and then we have to tell them like, I'm changing, or this is what I'm doing now, or we even have to announce to the world like, this is my new path. And I think the Emperor doesn't let other people's judgments or even the fear of judgment keep him from sitting in his power and just claiming the path that they're claiming. So I think the message of this week and into the next couple weeks is just claim your path. And if anybody has any judgments about what you're doing, then it's their projection and it's not even about you. That's for you, Laura. And now, Lauren, I would love an anchor card for the week, of course. Yeah. Cool. Ooh, Temperance. Yeah, cool. I'm getting like, there's maybe like a big week. It's a big week for honoring and nurturing yourself. And, you know, the Temperance card can have a whole range of meanings. But just in this moment, I'm feeling very drawn to like tapping into almost like this purification ritual that the temperance angel is sort of doing, like the 1 foot on water, 1 foot in land. You know, maybe she's making like medicine, or, you know, she's wearing white. There's some sort of like rebirth purification thing kind of coming in this week. You know, yeah, there's something here about nurturing oneself, and could be correlated to sometimes the holidays being triggering with especially like past memories and family stuff. And I think this temperance card is just like, really choose you in the next couple weeks for sure. Corey said, I would love a card for the rest of 2023. Thank you. This is actually good. I'm glad you said that, Corey. I'm going to gear all of these cards towards like now to the end of 2023, because I forgot to say this, but I think this is going to be the last Witch Church of 2023, because next Sunday is Christmas Eve, and then I think the Sunday after that is like New Year's stuff. So I think this is the last Witch Church of this year. And we'll see how Witch Church evolves next year. I'm feeling another evolution. I don't know what it is, but we'll see what the evolution is with the Witch Church stuff. Corey, you said, I'd love a card for the rest of 2023. Eight of Swords. I think I'm hearing like, what if nothing changes or something like that? Or like, there's like a fear that things won't evolve, or there's a fear of stuckness. But it reminds me that change is so inevitable, and sometimes we're doing so much internal shifting that the universe almost, it's not that it pauses the external changes, but it's almost like if both the internal and the external changes were happening at once, it would like be completely debilitating, even if that is what our ego wants, right? So I would say right now it's really about honoring the internal changes that you've made and trusting that the external changes will follow in good timing. But for now, like, and this goes with our conditioning, like, we value or we applaud the external accomplishments, the external changes, the external achievements, like, oh, you bought a new house, or you got married, or you're in a new relationship. But we don't necessarily go up to someone and say like, wow, yeah, you really like felt your anger, you know, or like, oh, like you're really honoring your grief right now. Like, go off, sis. Like, you know, like we don't really like view those internal shifts as an accomplishment, but I think you have permission to do so right now. Yeah, that's what I got. Would love a card from Spirit about my cat and prayers, please. Yeah. Allie, I'm sending you all the good vibes and prayers to both your pets in the earthly realm and your pets in the heavenly realm. And then cat stuff. The Chariot and the Knight of Wands. I wonder, does your cat have like a physical injury? Like, is it like a broken leg or something? There, it feels like the cat isn't moving or is stuck, but then there's a future of it being able to move again. That's just what's coming through. I'm not in the business of making like too many of these predictions with pet stuff, but like that just is kind of what I see in the cards. And feels like there's some sort of mobility or energy at least returning to the cat. however you want to interpret that. Yeah. SBI, you said my card of the year is 22. Ooh, there it is. The world. That's card number 22. But let's pull a card for the rest of this year for you. Let's see. Ooh, Four of Swords and King of Cups. It feels like the holiday season is sort of burning you out a bit. And this could be, you know, reflective of work getting busy or just going to a lot of holiday parties or, you know, when you're as popular as you are, like, you know, you get all these invites and, you know, you can't say no. But I think there's something about valuing your rest and prioritizing your rest. And it's okay if you feel like staying in. Like, it's okay to say no to certain things and just kind of choose some rest and relaxation. And yeah, I think it's just giving yourself permission to do that for your own health and well-being, right? That could even apply to, like, let's say you have New Year's Eve off and you're like, I don't want to go out, but I don't want to be a loser. Like, be a loser. Like, stay in. Take it from me. I never go out on New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve is the worst holiday. That's my hot take. Any holiday that forces me to stay up that late, not happening for me. Ellis, you said, could I have a card for friendship? Things have been weird in that area lately. Thanks, Mal. Nine of Wands. Nine of Wands. Yeah, it reminds me that sometimes our friends have to listen to us talk about the same thing over and over again. And sometimes we have to listen to our friends talk about the same thing over and over again. And that can be frustrating if you're, like, giving someone advice or they're giving you advice or they're reflecting something back to you or vice versa. And, you know, someone just keeps complaining about the same thing or, like, not changing or whatever. And I think it's in our right. It's just, I think it's okay. Sometimes this has saved friendships for me. And I wish when I was younger, like in college, I wish I had this skill, because a few of my friendships in college did kind of crumble this way because I felt like I was being the listening ear to someone's repeated record. And I wish I had the boundary to just say, hey, like, I love you, but I've given you everything I have about this situation. Like, I cannot listen to you, you know, talk about this fuckboy one more time, you know? You know, like, so, like, I love you, but I need to set a boundary. I cannot discuss this with you anymore because it doesn't really seem like you even want my feedback or advice. It just seems like you're trying to verbally process something. And if that's the case, I want you to go see a therapist, or I want you to go find a counselor or something along those lines, because I can't listen to it. And, you know, we've all had these moments with people, and I wish I had that in the past. I think it would have saved some friendships for me going forth. So I hope that's relevant in some way, Ellis. Like, yeah, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't lean on our friends during a hard time. Like, I think it's very contextual, right? Like, if someone is grieving or going through a divorce or going through, like, a really bad breakup, like, you know, of course I'm a listening ear. And, but if someone is repeatedly just talking about something, complaining about something that, like, they literally won't change, and it's sourcing from a deeper issue that they can't see and you can, like, that's what grinds my gears. So I'm probably projecting now onto this reading, but I hope that helps some way, Alice. Armchair astrologer, you said, I'd love a card for the rest of this Mercury retrograde. Yeah. Let's see here. Armchair astrologer, are you in Chicago? Two of Wands. Cool. I feel like it's a really good planning period for you. I don't know if you're usually a planner. Earlier you said you have Mercury in Sagittarius, so, you know, maybe it's a little bit like, how does Mercury in Sagittarius, like, plan the vision board? Or, yeah, like, actually, Mercury in Sagittarius is probably who even invented the vision board. Like, there's just something about planning the next trip, the next part of the path, doing some envisioning, even meditating about the year ahead, the energies that will present themselves, doing the year ahead tarot spread or whatever. Like, there's something cool about the sacred planning rituals of the next couple weeks. Celeste, you said, I'd love a card for the rest of Mercury retrograde. I'm going to a New Year's Eve wedding that requires a flight, rental car, 2-hour drive, and I'm nervous. Celeste, you and these weddings, man, your friends, they need to pick easier places to have weddings. That's what I'm going to say. All right, advice for Celeste. Three of Cups. I think it's going to be fun. Like, I think just approach all things with a good sense of humor. You know, don't be, you know, this is a metaphor, but I guess literally too, like, don't be gripping onto the wheel, trying to control, like, every moment of the path. Like, maybe you and your husband will get lost on that 2-hour drive and take a wrong turn, and, you know, you're only lost for 20 minutes and you end up finding, like, a really cool ice cream shop, or, like, you know, like, just approach things with an adventurous, humorous perspective, and all will be well, and I think it'll be fun. That's what I got. Corey, you said that reading really resonated. I needed that exact message. Aw, I'm glad. SBI, you said you were double booked last night, so it makes sense. Oh! Okay, Allie, that makes so much sense. You said your kitty has been paralyzed in his back leg since April. The past few days, he's been having another issue. Hopeful by the Chariot. Yeah, yeah. I think there's some energy that gets moving in him again. Cool, I would love to come to Tucson for the New Year's Eve event. Ellis, you said, that definitely fits. A friendship may be ending because of a stuckness in that kind of conversation. Some space might help right now. Thanks for the wisdom. Of course. Love you guys. Oh, okay. Armchair astrologer. You're outside of Chicago in the DeKalb area. Okay, this is good to know. I only ask because, So there used to be, like, circa 2019, there used to be, like, 10 astrologers that I knew who lived in Chicago. And during the pandemic, they all moved away. And I've been trying to, I'm envisioning a sort of, new Chicago Astrologers, like, association, like, monthly meeting, where we do, like, lectures and we, like, create that community again. But where I'm at a loss is, like,
I don't
know any astrologers. Like, I know very few, but, like, actually practicing professional astrologers who have clients and want to, like, present at a meeting with, like, a lecture or something like that. I'm calling it in. So I'll say it to you and I'll say it to anybody who's listening on the podcast. If you are a Chicago-based astrologer and you're sort of interested in joining my project for 2024, hit me up. Okay, cool. Okay, I'll DM you, Armchair Astrologer. Anybody else who's listening, let me know. Cool. All right, my friends, happy rest of 2023. I hope this Mercury retrograde leads to some insightful clarity. And I've been just so thankful for y'all. And I'm glad we got to meet today. Okay, bye.